Now we will continue our study of metric spaces. So fix a metric space X row, a set U contained in X is called open if for each little u and big U there is an r bigger than 0, so that the ball with center little u and radius r is contained in capital U. A set E in X is called closed if its complement is open. Notice that these definitions are analogous to those we gave in our discussion of real topology in Math 4111. Example, consider the set of real numbers equipped with the metric row st equals 1 if s is not equal to t and row st equals 0 otherwise. Then each singleton u equals set containing x is an open set for let p be a point of u. Then p equals x and the ball bp 1 half lies in u. However, each singleton is also closed for the complement of the singleton u equals singleton x is a set s equals r take away x, and if s is an s, then the ball with center s and radius 1 half is contained in s as in the preceding paragraph. So this particular metric makes everything, all topology, pretty trivial. Example, let x row be the metric space of continuous functions on your interval 0, 1 equipped with the metric. The soup metric, as usual, defined capital U to be the set of all f and x where f is 1 half is bigger than 5. Then U is an open set in the metric space. To verify this assertion, fix an element f in capital U. Let epsilon be f of 1 half take away 5, bigger than 0. We claim that the metric ball B, f, comma, epsilon lies in U. For let G be in the ball, B, f, epsilon, then G of 1 half is f of 1 half take away the quantity f of 1 half minus G of 1 half, which is bigger than or equal to f of 1 half minus rho of f, comma, G, because that's how we measure rho. And that's bigger than f of 1 half take away epsilon, which is 5, by the way we defined epsilon. It follows that G is in U, hence G is in B of f epsilon. Since G and B of f epsilon was chosen arbitrarily, we may conclude that B f epsilon is a subset of U, but this says that U is open. We may also conclude from this calculation that the complement of U, which is a set of all x where f of 1 half is less than or equal to 5, is closed. Definition, let X row be a metric space and S a subset of X. A point X in capital X is called an accumulation point of S, also a limit point or a cluster point if every BX epsilon contains infinitely many elements of S. This is analogous to our discussion in the real number context. Proposition, let X row be a metric space. A set X, S and X is closed infinitely if every accumulation point of S lies in S. The proof is similar to what you saw in Math 4111, and we'll leave the details as an exercise for you to think about. Definition, let X row be a metric space, a subset S and X is said to be bounded if S lies in some ball BPR. Definition, let X row be a metric space, a set S and X is said to be compact if every sequence in S has a subsequence that converges to an element of S. So both of these definitions are quite an analogy with what you learned in the real analysis context. We just have the new context of a metric space now. Example, in Math 4111, we learned that in the real number system, compact sets are closed and bounded, and conversely, this is not the case in a general metric space. As an example, consider the metric space X row consisting of all continuous functions on the interval 0, 1 with the supremum metric as in previous examples. Let capital S be the set of all f sub j of x equals x to the j. This is a bounded set since it lies in the ball B 0, 2, where 0 is the 0 function. We claim that S contains no Cauchy sequences. This follows because no matter how large capital N is, if little k is bigger than little j bigger than capital N, then we may write absolute value fjx minus fkx equals absolute x to the j times x to the k minus j take away 1. Fix j, if x is sufficiently near to 1, then x to the j in absolute value is bigger than 3 quarters. But then we may pick k so large that x to the k minus j is less than 1 quarter. And therefore, the absolute value of x f sub kx minus f sub jx is bigger than equal to 9/16, which is 3 quarters times 1 quarter. So there's no Cauchy subsequence. We may conclude, for vacuous reasons, that S is closed. But S is not compact, for as just noted, the sequence FJ consists of infinitely many distinct elements of S which do not have a convergent subsequence. Indeed, not even a Cauchy subsequence. In spite of the last example, half of the Heine-Borel theorem is still true. Namely, proposition, let X, rho be a metric space and S a subset of X. If S is compact, then S is closed and bounded. So it is not true that closed-bounded sets are compact, but it is true that compact sets are closed and bounded. Proof, let Sj be a Cauchy sequence in S. By compactness, this sequence must contain a subsequence converging to some limit P. But since the full sequence is Cauchy, the full sequence must converge to P. Thus, S is closed. If S is not bounded, we derive a contradiction as follows. Fix a point P1 in S. Since S is not bounded, we may find a point P2 that has distance at least 1 from P1. Since S is not bounded, we may find a point P3 that is distance at least 2 from both P1 and P2. Continuing in this fashion, we select Pj, which is distance at least j from P1 through to P2 through Pj minus 1, and such a sequence Pj can have no Cauchy subsequence contradicting compactness, therefore S is bounded. Definition, let S be a subset of a metric space X rho, a collection of open sets O sub alpha, is called an open covering of S if the union of the O sub alphas contains S. Definition, if C is an open covering of set S, and if D is another open covering such that each element of D is also an element of C, then we call D a subcovering of C, and we call D a finite subcovering if D has only finitely many elements in it. Theorem, a subset S of metric space X rho is compact if and only if every open covering C equals O sub alpha of S has a finite subcovering. The forward direction is beyond the scope of this book, and we shall not discuss it. The proof of the converse direction is similar in spirit to the proof that we used in Math 4111, and we'll leave the details for you to think about. Proposition, let S be a compact subset of a metric space X rho. If E is a closed subset of S, then E is compact. Proof, let C be an open covering of E. The set U equals X takeaway E is open, and the covering C prime consisting of all the open sets in C together with the open set U covers S. Since S is compact, we may find a finite subcovering O sub 1, O sub 2 through O sub K that covers S. If one of these sets is U, then discard it. The remaining K minus 1 open sets, of course, covers E. So we've shown that every open covering of E has a finite subcovering. The exercises will ask you to find an alternative proof of this last fact. Definition, of X rho is a metric space and E is a subset of X, then the closure of E is defined to be the union of E with the set of all its accumulation points. And that's where we'll stop for today. And next time, which is our last lecture, we will have a dramatic application called the bare category theorem. See you next time.